tent embassy represents a very important thing that needs to be settled in this country. Captain James Cook, when he came down into the Great Southland, he was coming down to uncharted waters. The problem was that when he sailed into Botany Bay, he wasn't welcomed by the people that were there. In fact, we really believe that our people were telling him to go away. The respect way of us coming into another country was that you didn't come walk straight in and intrude into a country. You sat on the boundary and you waited until you were invited in. This frightening thing of the ship and people coming, they should have sat where they were and waited for someone to come out and invite them in. But when they started to make their own move to come in, and this bloke was vigorously telling them to go away, they mistook him for declaring a vengeance on them, or anger, frustration, and they fired at him. That was the problem. And at that point, Captain Cook had no way of carrying out his mandate from the king that he was to negotiate with the people. He and Sir Joseph Banks still recorded in the logbook. It's there for anyone to see. They saw families, they saw communities, they saw fires, they saw houses, and they saw people living on this land. And so when they went north, they still recorded this, campfires and things happening there. Then they landed on Possession Island, which is an empty island. And it was there that he carried out the ceremony that he should have been doing with negotiating of the people. The illegal entry took place there when he, the representative of the Crown of England, raised the flag there, the English flag, and claimed the island in the name of the King James III. What he did then, he automatically made that claim extend over to the mainland, to Australia, on the basis of that island being terra nullius, vacant and empty, no one living on it. And the same terra nullius then came over onto the land. England was going to be the colonisers, and they were going to be the sovereign people of this part of the land. Mm-hmm. Without talking with the real sovereign people, the indigenous people. And because the colony was set up, and England was the people that were the sovereign people of the colony, all other people outside of that colony were intruders, including Aboriginal people. And that intrusion, strangely as it was, kept alive, even to the extent where in later years, back in the 30s and 40s, they made it possible for Aboriginal people to become English people so they could benefit from the benefits of the Crown. So what an Aboriginal person had to do was to sign a certificate to say that he wasn't Aboriginal, and he would get a permit to become a citizen of England. So the laws were continually made by European people that didn't extend to Aboriginal people. And some of our brilliant young men like Michael Anderson and others set up the embassy on the basis that we weren't Australians and we were setting up an embassy in this country until that question was settled. And it still hasn't been settled, and people misunderstand the embassy as being a place of anger and frustration, but it's not. Look beyond that, and you see that the problem is that the sovereign people of this country cannot negotiate with the English until they were given the same credibility of being a part of that sovereign equality. The treaty would, first of all, the recognition factor. The recognition of the lie of terra nullius wasn't settled with native title, but what it could do is that give Aboriginal people recognition and even a percentage of that national product, that income, can be equated to a settlement. If it comes to money, it can be settled without sending us into bankruptcy. We give more money away to international support throughout the world than the money would be involved there in our own country to settle that. The real settlement will be that our people will be at peace, knowing full well, and people that lived on this country, that lived under the shadow of the fact that they're living on stolen land, that those people, their peace of mind will be settled too. That's why nations say sorry to each other, so that there can be a peaceful settlement and everybody live together from that point on, but in peace.
I was surprised, and indeed, I dare say many people listening to your speech today were surprised to hear that Malcolm Fraser tried to do it all those years ago.
Yeah, Malcolm Fraser did. He tried to do it, and there were a lot of well-meaning people. Well, if you remember the next incoming Bob Hawke, he said within 10 years we'll have a treaty. See, that they could see the worth of the Crown settling this thing so that we're at peace with the original, like, inhabitants and custodians of land. And see, the question, I'm probably one Aboriginal that doesn't believe but in native title as such. I don't believe because we were custodians of land, not owners, probably keep out. That was never our way of life. We cared and shared for the land as custodians. We had our regional areas of place of custodianship, and we paid respect to it, and that's what Captain Cook was about. If he'd have paid respect to the custodianship of that people's land there and asked permission to come in, he would have got entry on, you know, on the basis, that basis. But, you know, that's where I differ, and I really believe that they're trying to revamp that native title. But what they're revamping is something that really doesn't belong to us as a people. We're custodians. They should recognise that as a legal right of people. And they should, in the treaty, it would come to that there would be some equal distribution of wealth and power. It's not right that one woman should come into a country and have more money taken out of this country in the desecration of land, and than we would ever, any of our whole nation of Aboriginal people ever see in their whole lifetime. We're destroying the country for the purposes of making money. And so we really need to have some reforms in recognising the custodianship of this land and bring Aboriginal people into that so that this country will live on for the benefit of our children.
We pointed to the work of Malcolm Fraser, Bob Hawke and indeed many people. Is anyone still doing that work now in government towards a treaty?
No, there's not. There's not. See, because you can't do it unless you have a recognised body to negotiate with. And the complexity of that is made complex because people think that the whole system of this country being illegal will return to that point of total bankruptcy for the British and for the Australian government. Well, that need not be if Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people sit in a common gazetted law program. We call them plebiscites, you know. We can even from that point, when the finally come to that point, we can even sit together and make our own president. We can make our own constitution. Because right now, everybody should know that the constitution doesn't belong to Australia, it belongs to the House of Lords in London. You know, we've talked about having a free nation. Well, that's the way to do it, is to give Aboriginal people the sovereign right to negotiate that point. And we've got brilliant people in this country that can do that. And I'm sure that it can happen in the spirit of goodwill.